You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
From Michael Jackson to the House of Pain.
The House of Pain. I was just going to say, does that give you flashbacks to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin after the third quarter?
It does.
Them Badgers, they'd be jumping around.
They do jump around, and they played us tough every time we were up in Madison. So it does bring back the memories.
Yeah. Well, that's become, you know, again, that's why. I would say that's one of now, you know, the top 10 staples of atmosphere in college football that
no
we
doubt.
Have. Without question. I mean, you know, if you love college football, you know Camp Randall Stadium, third quarter after the third of Wisconsin Badger home games.
Yes.
House of Pain comes out, and they're jumping around.
They are jumping around, and like I said, in most cases, it's always been a game, so they jump crazy.
Like, it feels like it's reverberating.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You could feel it, like if you're in, you know, in one of the booths in a television booth.
And again, Michael, that's more than just the Big Ten. That's nationwide.
That's nationally. No question about that. It's one of the top ten, you know, again, atmosphere moments that we have in college football. All right, we're in the Dog Bowl, and the Dog Bowl is already top 10 around the NFL. We know that. As, you know, we've got Swagger in here. He and Wilhelm usually
Petting on the wall.
Communing somehow. Yeah, Mike Petting on the wall, no question about that. Great to have you part of it, everybody. And speaking of Mike Petting, the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, he certainly gave us an idea that during this bye week there are going to be a lot of things, as Matt and I have been discussing today, that he's going to take a look at and go through. And some of those things, you know, you could call it systemic in that it might involve himself and his coaching staff and how they go about putting their Cleveland Browns not only on the football field, but how they then, you know, manifest that during game day. All right. Let's see if Mike Petting gave us any ideas into some of that. Here's Mike Petting from earlier today with the assembled media here at the facility in Berea.
Connor Shaw, I didn't see him out there.
Yeah, he's sick. It's illness. We just wanted to, he's okay. We just wanted to keep him away from everybody.
And how about Craig Robertson?
Craig welcomed a new addition to his family this morning.
Oh, so. Cool. All right. Mike, your cushion aunt was out here. I know you said you were going to talk to Dave about maybe making a move. Have you decided to stay with Christian for the next game?
Yeah. I mean, it's still being evaluated, but we're going to come out and you know, Chris talked to him and challenged him, and he knows the deal that it's it's a performance-based league, and especially at that position, you got to be on point all the time. So we are going to bring a couple guys in to work out, but that's I can't put a percentage on this point whether or not we would make a move. I would say it's probably leaning more towards no.
Hoyer is from here and his family's here and all that, so he's talking about staying in the facility during this time off. Would you like to see more players, or do you understand why they wouldn't do that?
Yeah, I think it's to each his own. Sometimes it's you know, guys that have been away from their families for a long time. We got guys from California and from Texas and Florida, all over the place that are very close with their family and don't get near enough time to spend with them. Especially once they come here in the spring, they'll get a brief break in the summer, and then really from the start of training camp, it's tough for them to get back. So I think with the technology, I think you can get the best of both worlds. But if you have a good plan leaving, and you got your iPad and you got your loaded up with your film and whatever assignments you have from your position coach, I think you can accomplish both.
Whether it's an advantage or not to be off while Tennessee is playing Indianapolis, I mean, even in the back of your mind, that is kind of an advantage, and are you kind of full bore into taking advantage of the extra preparation?
Yeah, I mean, our prep this week is really two-pronged. It's one, focus on us. And just kind of see where we are. A couple of the periods of practice today were corrections, plays that we had given up. This is a copycat league. We know there's some concepts we might see again, both sides of the ball. So part of the Part of the practice was corrections. It'll be the same tomorrow. And then part of the practice was starting to look ahead to some of the basic Titan stuff.
How would you treat that game? Will you watch the TV copy live?
Yeah, I'll probably get a chance to watch it, but the exchange now occurs so quick that our guys will breakdown guys will have that in by middle of the morning Monday that game will be done.
Just out of curiosity, how much do you get out of watching it on the tube?
You get some, but not much. It's hard to see because the camera angles change. It's tough when you're used to watching the all 21 stuff that or the all 22 you just kind of it's hard to really scout because you can't see, especially what the receivers are doing most of the time. You can pick up a few things though.
How do you feel about corners staying in the facility? I mean, is that standard practice for the starting quarterback, or is this unusual case?
Well, I just think the fact that he's from here. I mean, if he was from Wyoming, he'd probably be headed there. I mean, that's an advantage for him that he's from here. That he truly gets the best of both worlds. That he gets his own facility, and he's home.
Given how much. With a new coaching staff, there's obviously been some issues on defense and special teams. How much has his play been kind of a peace of mind type of thing for you? It's as far as having not to worry about that position through the first couple of weeks.
Oh, we worry about it. but he's played well. He's played well, but he hasn't graded out 100%, and he's his own toughest critic too. So he's. I just think we've done a good job. I think Dal and Kyle have done a good job, not just with the quarterback, but the entire offense, just playing to our strengths. Go ahead.
Dante Whitner, is he playing like you expected him to, or is he playing like you expected him to?
Yeah, he is. He actually played very well, graded out extremely high. It was his best game against Baltimore.
But what does he do specifically well?
I think he's a complete safety. I mean, I don't think there's any one thing you can say. I think he's affected some throw. I think the double move on Gilbert when the receiver dropped the ball, I think there's a possibility that he might have sensed Whitner's presence headed his way rapidly. But I think he's that force for us in the middle. He does a good job with the mechanics of getting guys lined up, making sure guys are in the right coverage. He communicates well to the other safety, communicates well to the corners. And it's our big thing is do your job, good things will happen. And there are going to be times where opportunities don't present themselves to make a play. I know if a guy doesn't fill up the stat sheet, that's the easy interpretation is he's not playing well. But for us, he's been very productive.
Mike, the receiving core, is it a matter that maybe they were underestimated going into the season, or just a matter of a hot quarterback making them look good?
I think it's a combination. I mean, this is a group that we didn't give them a lot of reps together, just for obvious reasons. We wanted to make sure Miles was peak physical shape for the season. We wanted to limit Hawkins some, just knowing how hard he goes. So that group didn't get a lot of work together, especially in a game plan specific environment. And I just think that's a credit to not just that group, but just the offense in general that we've been able to. You know, it's what I've said several times. We don't have Josh Gordon here. You can't win with guys you don't have. We don't have what people would consider an elite receiving core, but we still got to play, and that's why that we got to formulate a plan that for them to be successful and go out and execute it.
When you talked about Joe Hayden the other day, you know, needing to be great in the final minutes, do you think that's kind of the challenge that you would respond to? You know, the type of guy that.
Whether I said that or not, I think Joe would respond. I mean, that's just the type of guy that he is. That he knows that those are plays he needs to make.
Are there some guys you'd worry about maybe saying that publicly because they don't have the whatever fortitude, or they might take it the wrong way?
Yeah, I think every case is different, but I would think for the most part that I wouldn't say something publicly that I wouldn't say to a player's face. And most of the time when I've said something, it's already been said to them.
Quarterback question. We've seen quarterbacks in three or four games here have good ratings and a few good games through that part of the season. Along those lines, how much stock do you put in what Hoyer has done so far through just the three games? How much can you tell about a quarterback through just the three?
You can tell some, but it's still very much incomplete. But I think that's... It's encouraging, especially when he's played well, like the last drive against New Orleans, obviously, that he's made some big throws on third down. But it's just like everybody else. It just the number of minuses on the grade sheet, there's a bunch of them need to get turned into pluses. That there's a level of consistency that needs to be raised, not just at quarterback, but across the board.
Mike,
Two more?
We saw Crowell taking the first reps today and the drills we were able to see.
Mm-hmm.
He's
playing well. I mean, we'll roll those guys. We're still not sure about Ben's availability, but that's just, you know, we're going to throw all those guys in. And Glenn Winston's another guy that got a bunch of quality reps today. So we Wilbert's always mixing and matching. I wouldn't give too much mind to what he does in early practice drill work. But we can depending a lot of those guys will have a different personnel group that they're the starter in, and it just depends on how we start the game. Really, who the starter ends up being. Yeah, to me, it's true at any position. If a guy's being productive, you find ways to get him on the field more, and it's a good problem to have when you have a back that before the season you weren't factoring in on being a big part of what you're doing, and he's being productive. You find ways to get him out there.
That's Browns head coach Mike Pettine giving us some insights into if indeed, as we discussed earlier here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 40, if there might be some personnel swapping and shakeup going on. And Kristen Yount, of course, as Mike said, he knows that this is a league where you got to compete every day, especially when you're on special teams. So the Browns bringing in a couple of long snappers this week to take a look at.
No surprise by me, and I alluded to it as well earlier. I think that this is a Coach Mike Pettine says pass-fail league. You win or you lose, and you want to put the best players on the football team that give you an opportunity to win.
All right, let's get into more of that as we roll on. And coming up, a lot of things. Still got an opportunity to hear from you. We'll go and review our hot topics of the day here, and brought to you by Ohio Business Machines, of course. And also, maybe even continue to take peeks at our Mailbag Wednesday right here on Cleveland Browns Daily. And you can hashtag it Mailbag. And there's a lot of ways to tweet at the show, at MattWilhelm57, at MichaelRegai, at Browns_Daily. Easy for you. Let's keep rolling when we get back. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Back at you in a moment.